Quarterback, presented by Heritage Distilling, proud home of BSB Brown Sugar Bourbon and Batch Number 12. It's just not football without Batch Number 12 vodka, bourbon, or gin. Drink, pass, repeat. It's time for the 8 stories in sports, delivered in 8 minutes. It's the
Pepper Needs New Shorts.
Chuck-a-buck of the morning. Ocho time. And there's, in my estimation, no doubt, but the number one story coming into Monday, the Washington State Cougars owned the weekend here in Washington.
Three wideouts left, one right, snapback Minshew, pump fake, fade pattern, Winston with the grab over the shoulder, touchdown! Over Lenoir, the Cougs are up 20-0!
Gardner Minshew leads the Washington State Cougars to a 34-20 win over the Oregon Ducks on Saturday. All the hype, all the buildup, the thousands that came into town in Pullman and lined the streets for a bus to arrive with Kirk Herbstreit and Reese Davis and Lee Corso all the time trying to pump into them shots of alcohol. What was the alcohol of choice that they kept talking about?
Fireball.
Fireball. Fireball. Yes, fireball, fireball, fireball. Take another, Reese. And then to come through with a victory in the end, it touched off what some are calling, including our own Ian Furness, the best weekend in Cougs football history. Here is Uncle Rico himself.
Man, I'm just so happy for our team, for everybody involved, for these fans that came out, gave us so much support. They deserve the best, and we're just trying to give that to them.
You know, we're going to have Hugh Millen here. He's with us right now. And so we're going to have him to expand on some of this coming up as the hour goes along. But just your gut reaction, Hugh, to Washington State's weekend.
Well, I thought going into it that it was one of those experiments for sports psychologists in looking at the difference Oregon having come off a big win against Washington and then the Cougars sitting there with a bye. This is quite a brand that ESPN Game Day has built for themselves, and mm-hmm. I think every when Washington first got it, doesn't matter where you are, when those schools, when you first get it, it's kind of an institution, and so I think that just injected even more emotion into the week that was favorable for the Cougars, and they took advantage of it in every way. It's probably almost the script you'd want to write, even down to. The fact that they got to avert a cougat,
and Ian says he's never heard of that phrase before.
He's heard it. He's heard that phrase.
Well, he's heard it. He's just not in his vocab.
I understand.
He doesn't like acknowledging that phrase. But I get it.
I understand why he wouldn't want to, but I think that there was.
But it exists.
I can't believe there's not some fan in that stadium that said one of the best parts about this is we had the opportunity to cougat and we uncooged it. Right, they actually made
that would have been the biggest. That would have been a super coup.
So
right
in
there.
A way, in a way, it was just perfect. I don't know. I'm not in the head of all the Cougar fans, but I would think that would be one of the gratifying parts of it. And it's just great emotion. Now this Gardner Minshew, seeing the craze, good for him. Seems like a great competitor and all that. Now he might have got laid on Saturday night. But he ain't winning no beauty contest anytime soon. Let's just get that out. Come on now. What?
No.
This
the
guy,
porn stash and the flavor
enjoy
saver,
it.
He's
enjoy
not
it, Gardner, while you got it. Hey. Come on, Gardner.
Guy's now, doing now, really listen. Good at quarterback, and now we're questioning his looks.
Well, he's out playing the Falk.
Yeah.
I mean, this is improbable as I could imagine because I thought two things. Number one, just go to the Helsinki thing. We don't want to pause on that long, but you think of the challenge for the Cougars, and then the fact that Mike Leach, his texts were disclosed, his what he would have thought would have been private texts to the AD. Those things get out there for all of his teammates and all the public to read, and it's kind of embarrassing. He seems to be groveling and it's kind of his clandestine end run to try and get out of Pullman to be the Tennessee coach, uh-huh. Secretly meeting in L.A. I mean, the hurdle that Leach had to overcome in all this, it's pretty remarkable what they're doing. And for it to culminate, what the 2018 season, I don't want to say it's culmination. I should take that back. It's not even November yet. But thus far in the season, to kind of hit that apex for them, wow, what a weekend for the Cougars.
And to think,
happy for him.
You wondered. This guy over here, Monday mm-hmm. morning quarterback over here, was like, oh, do you really need me this week? You've got a lot to say.
Oh, we need him.
Yeah, you've got. You said a lot there, even though you weren't saying a lot there.
Yeah.
You said a lot, reading between the lines. Mm-hmm. We're going to get to that here in a moment. But
I honestly don't know what you mean, but we can roll it, man.
Marky, do you know what I mean?
I get it. There's a lot leading up to that Apple Cup I can feel already.
All right, well, we will talk more about that in a moment. In the meantime, we got some other stories to get to in the Ocho, including the Huskies, who didn't exactly ball out on Saturday, but they took care of business.
Snap to Jake. Looks, throws, caught! Aaron Fuller behind everybody and into the end zone! Touchdown, Washington! A slant pattern on fourth down to Aaron Fuller! The nail!
Are you a little nervous at any moment on Saturday? Wondering.
Well, I think at that point, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. You got a one-score game, and anything can happen. You know, a fumble, scoop and score. Yeah. Yeah. If you're in the fourth quarter in a one-score game, halfway through the fourth quarter, sure. I don't think you're really a fan if you don't have a little bit of concern. Now, you may have, you know, a moderate level of comfort, like, hey, we're the better team, we're in control. Nothing from Colorado has shown me that Colorado is the equal of the Huskies, and I could make that statement without reservation, but fluky things happen. And, you know, there was a third down there where Browning in midfield, or just short of midfield, third and eight, Browning had a great scramble. I mean, take that scramble away for a first down, and Washington's punting. Now, Washington's defense is better than Colorado's offense, but fluky things happen. You know, there's a go route early in the game. Jordan Miller went to sleep. I mean, it can happen, right? So, sure. Yeah. Would have you been nervous had you been to Washington?
Well, yeah.
Fan?
Yeah, I'm watching that game and thinking, man, why are they struggling? I realize Colorado's a little better than what we thought at the beginning of the year, but this offense is having a lot of, this Husky offense is having a lot of trouble moving the football against this team. And, you know, how different of a game is it if Chenault's playing?
Yeah.
How different of a game is it if Gaskin's playing? You know, they're both missing star players.
But. Yeah. Maybe. If Chenault's playing, then you're more psyched up psychologically. I mean, you know, I mean, a lot that you can't, you can go back and kind of redress the circumstances. For example, you can say, what if Washington State would have got the call that they should have got against USC and they beat USC? Well, now maybe the psychology is different this past Saturday. You know, you can't just extrapolate, well, you'd have an undefeated Cougar team. Because you might, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know how Washington would have responded had Colorado been fortified with their best player. But that play that we just heard the highlight, Colorado, they showed cover zero, they pull everybody out of the secondary, and they're going to have one extra blitzer than you have blockers. So I thought Washington did a great job picking up a blitz, and Colorado didn't disguise it. It was kind of laid out there real simple for Browning to go take that middle of the field. So I don't think that was real good scheming by Colorado, but it certainly was good execution by the Huskies to take what was clearly a touchdown that Colorado was handing to them on a silver platter, and yet a veteran quarterback go grab it.
More on this game as well coming up later on in the hour. The college football rankings, the new rankings, Washington State and the Associated Press, the highest ranked team in the Pac-12, sitting there at 14 after their big win over Oregon. UW falls to 15. Oregon is at 19, and Stanford sits at 24, and Utah's in there as well at 23. Now, in the coaches' poll, Washington's still ahead of the Cougs. The coaches have the Huskies at 13 and the Cougs at 15. At the top of the poll in college football, Bama, Clemson, Notre Dame have the top three spots, but now that Ohio State has lost, they've fallen from 2 all the way down to 11. So the new number 4 team is LSU, and the new number 5 team is the Michigan Wolverines. Item number 4 on the Ocho, the Seahawks had a bye week this week, but plenty of NFL action.
The snap to Trubisky. He's pressured by Claiborne. He starts to roll to his left. He pulls up. He heaves one deep to the end zone. That ball sailing toward the goal line. It's caught by White! White is caught and wrapped up short of the goal line!
Unreal.
And the Patriots are going to win, but that close to a Hail Mary and an answered prayer for Chicago.
We just go home. Let's get on a bus and go home. Get the heck out of here.
Boy, you complete a Hail Mary and still end up 1 yard short.
Well, and my former teammate Scott Zolak there on the commentary, get on the bus and get out of there. Everybody seems to be looking at that and saying, well, it's just a yard short. But the Patriots are going to play that defensively differently in the end zone. Obviously, they didn't want to give up the completion. There was a breakdown, and I'm sure Belichick will address that. But there's still the issue. The ball was caught on about the two or the one, you know, closer to the two, I think, and then maybe gained an extra yard. But there's a different priority defending 1 yard into the goal line than on the 2 yard line. Agreed?
Agreed, but still, Kevin White's a big boy for a wide receiver.
Oh, no, no.
I don't want to try to tackle him with only a yard to spare.
That was harrowingly close, and it would have been an overtime and what have you. But I think that to just infer, well, had he thrown it a yard further, 2 yards further, then it would have been caught and they would have won. That was some of the intimations I was hearing, and I don't agree with that.
Knock it down. Giants at Falcons is the Monday night matchup tonight, and it will wrap up this week of National Football League action. Tomorrow, then, baseball should take center stage. They chose Tuesday for a reason, so they wouldn't have to compete with the NFL, and it will feature Boston and the Dodgers.
Two balls, two strikes, two out, bottom of the ninth, Dodgers 5-1, Kershaw to Moustakas, swung on and missed strike three. And for the second consecutive season, the Dodgers are going to the World Series.
Dodgers-Boston, you like the matchup, Bucky? No.
It's a couple like powerhouses, but I don't like either one of the teams, no. So, I mean, it's whatever. I'll enjoy watching it. Hopefully it's a good series.
Here's the reaction I don't like hearing. There are a lot of people on Twitter, it's like, oh, big surprise. Number one payroll, number three payroll. Yeah, this is really worth watching. It's the only series you do watch, borderline baseball fan, because okay. When there is an underdog, those are always the worst ratings.
Right.
When there is a Tampa Bay that gets in, or a team that you...
Kansas City.
You, in today's day, as a fan that lives for bashing baseball... There's a lot more parity in this sport than anyone recognizes. There are a lot more underdog teams that get into the World Series, and when they do make it, nobody watches it.
Imagine
except those cities.
Imagine the ratings if Oakland had made it. Kidding me?
Yeah.
Bucky, you said you don't like either team.
No.
What are the parameters that cause you to like or dislike a team?
Well, the Red Sox, when I was playing here, I remember hearing, let's go Red Sox, like loud in the stands. Still happens to this day.
Yep.
They travel well, and so there's just a bunch of people that noisy Red Sox fans, not my favorite. And then the Dodgers are just, they're one of the ones that has all this history, and I guess it's more so like I'm jealous. I'm jealous of the fact that they're the Los Angeles Dodgers.
He's made it very personal.
What would be a team that, or two that you
I would have liked Milwaukee like, you're a fan in there. Of. I would have liked Milwaukee in there.
And the Mariners.
Well, they hit. I was drafted by the Mariners. That was, you know, or not by the Mariners, by the Brewers, I mean.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's kind of like I have a little something there. I like the Cardinals as a squad.
Yeah.
He wanted the Brewers and the Mariners to get into the World
Series. I did.
Me too.
I'd be stunned if you didn't know this, but you know the Brewers used to be in Seattle.
Yes, the old Pilots.
I can remember
zombie Pilots.
Having baseball cards of the Seattle Pilots.
Yeah.
Dating myself.
Yeah, a little bit.
Thanks, Bud Selig.
Yeah,
thanks a lot.
Sounders keep on winning. They knocked out the Houston Dynamo 3-2 last night. Hugh, your thoughts?
Just kidding.
and college basketball. UW won an exhibition game. I don't know why they're playing an exhibition game against a top 10 team in college basketball, but they were, and they won by 18. And it has everybody kind of, well, you should be.
Against whom?
Nevada. UW's going to be good this year. And by the way, Jonte Porter of Missouri is out for the season. So anybody that thought that this was going to be a miserable thing to watch the Porters not play at Washington, well, I guess you don't have to ever worry about that again.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next, we dive into Monday morning quarterback. Hugh Millen is here. We will expand on the Washington State victory. We will expand on the UW victory. We will expand on the collision course that is the Apple Cup and the Pac-12 standings. All of that next, Sports Radio 950 KJR.
Available in every state.
Now back to Chuck and Buck on your home for the 12th man in the NFL. Seattle's original diehard sports station. Sports Radio 950 KJR.
I don't even know what to think. You're playing a ballad in there.
Told you.
Bucky's in the shirt of shame right now, wearing it proudly.
Oh,
a sweatshirt that when Hugh Millen saw it, goes, uh-oh, who lost a bet?
Yes. Very obvious that I would not put this on if I had not lost something.
Suddenly I want to ask Bucky to slow dance, and I don't even know why.
You should do it. Tell him to put the hood up, so.
I didn't lose a bet. You two should have to slow dance. That should be the that should be the punishment.
Who would lead?
I would.
Well, you are wearing the shirt, though.
Oh, I'm wearing it. Okay. Slick's going to put it on and get a picture, too. He lost one.
Bumper music has fallen to a new low.
Really, I don't even. Why did you play this?
I told you guys for making me wear that. You're going to get bad music the rest of the day.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, well, he's That's succeeding.
Why. It's my.
You're one for one.
It's the only thing I have.
You're
going to
hit for the cycle. You got this right.
It's the only recourse I have.
It's a little different Monday. We don't have a Seahawks game to break down, but man, by gum, we want to have a Monday morning quarterback with Hugh Millen nonetheless. It's brought to you by Heritage Distilling and Redbox. Heritage Distilling, proud home of BSB Brown Sugar Bourbon in batch number 12. It's just not football without batch number 12 vodka, bourbon, or gin. Drink, pass, repeat. Also, Redbox. It is your one-stop destination for entertainment. Rent new release movies for just $1.75 a night. Play the newest video games for just $3 a night. And with Redbox On Demand, stream new movies and thousands more instantly. Redbox, the smarter way to watch and play. All right, I think that the Cougars owned the weekend, Husky. Okay?
No doubt.
No doubt.
Well.
Now, you were looking at me like, what are you getting at, smart
yeah,
guy?
Yeah, you made a comment.
Made a little comment at the very end. Because I was going to ask you, like, all right, what was your reaction? Was it a sort of good for them, you know, like a little like pat on the back kind of thing for your rival Cougars? But then I think you spelled it out pretty clearly when you went on a spree of backhanded compliments.
Oh, did I?
A little bit.
What'd I say?
Hey, Cougars get a win, but that was a study in psychology of football. Oregon coming off a big win, Cougars having a bye week. So you cheapened,
is that not true?
You cheapened the win a little bit.
Down? Did I
a
little bit.
Add a little extra water to the concentrated OJ.
We're going to compliment the program on how they could survive their head coach wanting to leave town as fast as he could.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, a little shot.
Gardner Minshew's having a fine season, Bucky, but boy, he's ugly.
Yeah. Boy, that guy is playing. That, well, he ain't now, winning a beauty contest.
That bears repeating, all right? Nobody's going to disagree with that one.
Well, and I'm sure someone would.
I don't care.
I'm not going to go either way.
And then you conclude it with, but good for them.
Good for them.
Good for them and good for the
UW. And good for Washington.
Yeah.
No, you say that in a context that paints a picture that I think is a little bit misleading, but I can't dispute that I did say those things. It was incredible energy. I am happy for those guys. In fact, I texted Ian and Puck. I'm happy for you guys. I'm genuinely, sincerely. I mean, you could see that was incredible energy.
Oh yeah,
and that's a lot of people having a really good time, and you got to be happy for them. And it benefited Washington, so. So I think that everybody around here is just all smiles about what happened.
All right. So, look, I just rolled into town a few years ago.
But
I did this little thing on the air about pick your team that you're going to root for, and I went with the Huskies. So I do root for the Huskies. These two jackasses here, Slick Hawk and Bucky, they're Oregon fans.
Yeah.
Okay. So
from there.
We are trying earlier in the show to try to capture what a Husky fan must be thinking watching this all go down. So I'll just ask you, I mean, as you're watching it, be as blunt as you want, as you're watching the whole week progress, as you're watching the game progress, the game day progress, I mean, what was your take on
it? Well, I don't think that I'm going to backtrack from my point about the extreme psychological difference. Yeah. I've acknowledged that in games where Washington has been a psychological favorite. I've acknowledged that when I thought Washington was at the detriment in those regards. I think that those are real factors. I mean, I think that anybody who does, you know, if you're just ignorant to what can cause energy in a stadium, I think that you're kind of missing the boat. You know, I mean, for example, I'll give it a somewhat related example. Did you watch Baker Mayfield's game when he came in for the Browns a few weeks ago?
Sure.
So
his first game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did you not sense the massive infusion of energy that his presence brought that entire stadium and his teammates and what have you?
Huge.
Right? So if you can acknowledge that those type of things happen, then I think certainly you can acknowledge that Washington State got a boost. There's no question Washington State got a boost. They are already in a pretty darn good place with a bye. And I would say this, it was the opposite the week before. Oregon had a bye, and now Washington wasn't coming off a terribly dramatic or emotional win, but Oregon having a bye playing at home, they certainly had the psychological factors in their favor, talking about Oregon against Washington. So then the table gets flipped when Oregon then goes to Washington State, and I think Husky fans kind of looked at that and say, you know, this could happen. First of all, Washington State's pretty darn good, and this Minshew appears to be better than Luke Falk.
I agree.
But
not
as good looking, but that wouldn't be a very high bar to surpass. I'm going to ride this theme now. I mean, we're on it, so I'm
just go with it.
I'm on the horse. I'm just going to keep.
You know, didn't see like a
whacking it, huh?
A Selleck kind of look about it.
No, definitely not a Selleck.
TV's
no,
Matt Houston.
No.
You weren't seeing
but,
that.
So I think that going into the game, you felt like Washington State really had a great chance. Now, you know, Washington was in the unusual predicament, obviously, of rooting for the Cougars, because Washington then wants its destiny in its hands, and it happened all in that weekend. So whatever magic was occurring for the Cougars was also obviously a really pivotal point in the season for Washington.
Yeah,
to regain control of.
To their own destiny. I 1,000% believe in the psychology of sports. I think it gets underplayed as opposed to overplayed. And trap games are real, and letdown games are real.
Yep.
And I even thought that Washington was a little guilty of a letdown game, of having their hopes dashed the week before, their ultimate dream of being potentially a playoff team this year. And I don't think that they played with the same kind of verve that you wanted to see from them against Colorado on Saturday. So I absolutely believe that it exists. But I still want to give them credit for coming out there and stomping Oregon early on. And then sort of in that same vein, you watched that second half unfold, and we were all thinking the same thing. I mean, even Ian, even though he wouldn't confess it, had to have been thinking to himself, we can't blow this, right? No, I don't want to go back. No, it's gone too perfectly. We can't blow this.
Right.
And then to their credit and to Minshew's credit, as ugly as he might be.
Yeah.
Right. It was like, all right, I'm a different cat, man.
Beautiful post route. Absolutely, sure.
I don't know what you're used to here, but I ain't letting us lose.
Yeah, right.
And then went on a beautiful drive through a beautiful touchdown pass, and that was it.
Well, and for Oregon twice to be inside the 10 and then get turned away and have to settle for, you know, instead of 14 points there, only get 6, that was pivotal. But if you're a Cougar fan and you're watching this unfold, You're looking at this guy, what? He's reputed to be the top quarterback in the draft, maybe the number one overall pick, and all of a sudden...
Herbert.
Yeah, Justin Herbert. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I should have clarified.
No, you probably were. You're good.
No, but as you're watching this comeback from Oregon, and you're thinking, oh boy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that... But it had to be in the end. I'm sure they would have rather just had a comfortable blowout, and you know they won 49-7. There's no doubt the Cougars, but there had to be something kind of gratifying to add just a little bit of extra, you know, booze in the punch. Just that's how the second.
That.
No, I don't think they did either. I think that the punch bowl is just booze, and there's no punch. But
put punch in my booze bowl.
right?
Diluted it.
Right? But that had to be just a little extra kicker that they had to be, you know, on pins and, you know, the 10-hour party got interrupted by about a 75-minute hold-your-breath session in that sec. I'm talking about real time, right?
Yeah.
And then they could just exult and re-party.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, I think it was added.
It's like,
it
go hurl like, yeah. in the bathroom, and then, you know.
You can
and
rally.
Then, what do they call it? Re-rally, you can right? rally.
They P&R'd right yeah. on the field.
Hell yeah, yeah, they did.
And by the way, Huskies would do the same. That's not a Coug thing. That would be a Husky thing, too.
Yeah.
The first time that they had game day.
Right, right. All right, so talk about psychology. I mean, Stanford is terribly dangerous now for the Cougs coming up this week.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the last game. That's the last team that I want to play. That's at Stanford, right? It's at
mm-hmm.
Stanford?
Yes.
That's the last team that I want to play. Those plow horses.
Yeah.
Who, and coming off what I just came off of, because they're good. They might not be great, but they're good. They're always pretty solid.
Competitive, yeah.
And you're coming off flying high. Can you possibly come down from that high and then get back up again? Because you're probably going to have to. And oh, by the way, there's not going to be any environment there to feed off of. Sometimes a visiting team can feed off of a good environment on the road.
Yes.
There'll be nothing there on the farm. So that, what's to me, psychology, like? That's a tough, tough game next week.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Absolutely. Now, Bryce Love, what's his status?
Who knows?
Who knows?
He's been cleared to play and then comes out after one carry in the past. I mean, he didn't play. He played last week. Yeah. Didn't play well. I don't know.
He's an exhibit for these juniors to go early if their stock is real high. But no question, Washington State's going to have to re-rack emotionally and go down there. And you're right, it's going to be a benign environment, but the physicality, I don't think Stanford is quite what they used to be in that regard. But as you said, they're a quality team. They got a lot of really good players that are coached real well, and they do bring that physicality. If you're not going to play the power in the counter, and they sense that you cannot play it, they'll just bloody your face, and they'll be happy to do it for 60 minutes, and they'll drag a goal line offense. You know what you commonly think of? Okay, here's third and one. You know, fourth and one. What kind of splits do you take? What kind of formation? What's the personnel group? You know, goal line. They'll get in a goal line offense, and they'll go up and down the field, and they'll just hammer you, and then hit you on a play action when you're just totally asleep, trying to dedicate yourself to trying to stop the battering that they're giving you. So no doubt, Washington State has to re-rack.
October 22nd. What's your read on the Apple Cup? I mean, what kind of game do you expect it to be? I mean, do you think both teams can run the table to that point in the year? Are you glad that the two aren't playing right now because the Huskies aren't exactly looking their best at this point in the season, and you think they might be once the Apple Cup finally rolls around? I mean, you had to start thinking about the Apple Cup as that game was concluded.
Sure, about a month away, right? I think that, first of all, I don't think that both teams are going to go undefeated. I just don't get the sense that either team is, you could, you know, if you just start going mathematically, the probability conditional, you know, I would think somebody's going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
But if they were to go undefeated from this juncture, I just think Washington has shown themselves capable of solving that offense. And until the Cougars show that they've figured out Jimmy Lake's defense and Pete Kwiatkowski's defense, I feel like Washington has the edge in that.
Mm-hmm.
They've just shown that they can shut that down. Just look at the last few games. And there's no guarantee that Minshew's going to make it there, because more than half the time, seemingly, Washington State's starting quarterback doesn't make it to the Apple Cup. Well, there's a reason for that. Yeah. First of all, when you're throwing 50, 60 times a game.
Yeah. I see. Yeah.
You're right. You're in peril more, and then the nature of their offense, where they have wide receiver reads. I mean, nobody has more latitude for their receivers than Washington State, and so you get into those gray areas of subjectivity where, hey, is the receiver going to keep going up the sideline, or is he going to stop? Is he going to break in or is he going to hook it down? I mean, every offense has a little bit of subjective reads. There's objective reads like, okay, if you have a single safety, you run through the seam. If you have a split safety, you run the bender like a post. That's an objective read. You can clarify. But then you throw the subjectivity. Well, if you think you can beat the guy, then do this. But if you don't think you can beat him, then do that.
Mm-hmm.
Those type of offenses lead to quarterbacks holding the ball. And the facts are the facts that the Washington State quarterbacks have sustained injuries. And they're more likely to sustain it as the year goes on. And Washington State happens to play Washington at the end of the year every year. So if you've got a few of these occurrences where Washington is playing the Apple Cup against a backup Cougar quarterback, that could happen again because it's always in play.
Mm-hmm.
More so, you could say, well, that's the case for every quarterback. Any quarterback could get hurt. Yeah. It's more likely to happen with the Cougars.
Physical appeal aside, what do you think of Gardner Minshew?
I think he's really good.
Yeah.
I think he's really good. I think he's the best that I've seen from him seems to be better than what I saw from Luke Falk. And Luke Falk was a, you know, he's playing
record setter.
He's in the NFL right now, record setter and candidate for first team all Pac-12 right up to the end. I don't know if he ever made that, but
what do you think of the way Jake Browning's playing right now?
I think he's playing okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think he's playing at a star level, but I don't think he has star people around him. I think that the game, I said in the post game, I thought that everything was just kind of sufficient for Washington. That it was hard, as you said, we talked a lot about it pregame and postgame about Washington emotionally. A, the letdown from losing to Oregon. B, the letdown for being a two-loss team at this stage of the season when you never envision that. You envision yourself either a one or a zero-loss team. So kind of the whole state of the union, if you will, for the Huskies at the time, I think it was a little bit of a letdown. You know, the environment wasn't great in Husky Stadium. So it was just kind of one of those games where Colorado's good enough to scare you, but not really good enough that you thought they had a credible chance to beat you, because Washington's good enough that they should even with a B-minus emotional game, Washington was going to be better. Washington had to really be near their worst to lose to Colorado at home. And so you just kind of felt like they did what they needed to do. They stayed healthy, and then you just kind of pick up your ball and, you know, it's like a short par four, you know. You pick up your ball and go to the next tee.
That's right. Well, I, for one, I want them to run the table. I would love to see that Apple Cup be two teams playing for the division. Winner goes Pac-12 championship. Put it all on the line. But everything's at stake. I'd love to see it happen. But you're right. It's probably a big task to ask for both teams to be able to put that together. Hugh Millen is with us. It's Monday morning quarterback. We will be joined by Coach at 9 o'clock. Coming up next, we thought it might be a good time that we hear from you. We can get one text, one tweet, and one call. So you can tweet me or tweet the show or tweet Bucky, whatever you want to do. You can text us, of course, on the Heritage Distilling text line at 49451. And we'll take a call at 206-286-9595. Any question you'd like to ask Hugh Millen today, we're going to take one tweet, one text, and one call. It's sort of like George Thorogood's song, one bourbon, one scotch, one beer. We're going to do that. We're going to do that for Hugh Millen. So your thoughts, anything you'd like to ask, we're going to get to that next. Sports Radio 950 KJR.
Available in every state.
Now back to Chuck and Buck on your home for the 12th man in the NFL. Seattle's original diehard sports station. Sports Radio 950 KJR.
I come home on Friday. Had to tell the landlady I done lost my job.
One text.
She said, that don't confront me.
One call. And one tweet. That's what we're looking for here on Chuck and Buck in the Mornings, Sports Radio 950 KJR. We've been looking for ways to kind of get the callers involved, listeners involved, texters involved, tweeters involved.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe you're tired of our questions for you. Maybe you got better ones. So we got Hugh Millen here. We got this source. We got this valuable source, this gold mine of information. Well, why not peck away at it? grab your pickaxe and see if you can come up with a nugget question or two. So 206-286-9595 is the phone number. We will take one call, 206-286-9595 for Hugh Millen. We will take one text, and we will take one tweet. So what do you got over there on the text line at 49451, Bucky?
Well, here's one that I think is pretty interesting. Hugh, if Jake Eason was eligible this year, would we have seen him start a game this year over Browning?
Start a game. That's interesting. I certainly think we would have seen him. But I'll say yes. I think that somehow, some way, he would have got earned an opportunity to play. And I think that his talent would have been kind of tantalizing enough that somehow he would have found a way
to get
to wrestle in there. Yep. Now, I don't say that with 100% conviction. You know, so yeah. I'll express that opinion that with a 51% yes and a 49% no. So I'm just barely, the needle just barely tips over. But I just think that there may have been a sense that, you know, that you can do things with this kid. He's got a toolbox that nobody else in that lineup has. Nobody else who wears a Husky uniform has what he has from a skill set standpoint.
Well, let's put it this way. If you wouldn't have gone that way, it's purely out of loyalty, right? I mean,
for sure.
Yeah. I mean, you were sitting, you had to. I mean, Chris Peterson would have to. I mean, it kind of a good problem to have that. You know, he can't play Eason because the temptation to put him in would have been ever present.
Yeah, there's no way that I think Eason would have beat out Browning going into the Auburn game for a lot of those reasons. I mean, it's early, the guys learning the offense for the first year. But at some point then, after you lose the Auburn game, would have there been some compulsion to see Eason play? Yes, I think somehow the tide would have pushed it in a way where you get a nibble at him and then you want to see a little more. And then now starting the game, that you know, that gives me a lot of pause. But we would have seen him, and assuming that he's the better quarterback, at some point you have to do what's best for the program.
All right, there's our text portion. 206-286-9595 to join the conversation as our one call. Bucky, what do you got for a tweet over there?
The tweet I'm liking is, how long ago was it, and how big in comparison would it be? If both these teams run the table, how big is this Apple Cup?
Well, if the Pac-12 North is on the line and a berth into the Pac-12, I mean, that's huge, obviously. The first one I can remember was 1981. That was in Husky Stadium. Yeah. Winner goes to the Rose Bowl. Now that, if you're just talking about parameters, that would trump this because you're the automatic Pac-12 champion. This only gets you a berth into the championship game.
Mm-hmm.
So, boy, I don't know. Was there another time? It feels like there was another time that happened. But
well, they've all been pretty big since I came into town. I mean, with exception of the one Browning's freshman year.
What about last year?
But the last couple of years have been pretty big games.
Yeah, they've been big, but I don't know for sure.
Wasn't the Pac-12? Well, I should know this.
Yeah, it was.
I think last year. So,
yeah.
I'm going to go with the 81. I'm going to go 81 in Husky Stadium.
81 Husky Stadium.
Well, just. But you know, trying to take the subjectivity out of it.
Right.
The winner of that game went to the Rose Bowl, and the Rose Bowl was the pinnacle. So yeah, I'm gonna say until something tops that, that's stands alone for me.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to see this one play out. I'd really like to see them run the table and have everything on the line. That's what I want out of this. That's my wish, Ray Kinsella.
Well, they had an incredible environment, and so a lot of times recently you go to the Apple Cup in Pullman, and the environment's always going to be good because it's the Apple Cup. But I think it has the potential to be kind of electric in there.
Yeah.
I think that Washington State has risen the ante. I mean, you've got a guy in Mike Leach now who's, you know, he's been there long enough, and the Cougars now are competitive enough that if you're a Cougar fan, you can say, hey, we can at any given time, on any given Saturday, we can step up and be competitive. There's no gimmies by anybody, not even USC. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Washington State is kind of elevated to that level under Leach.
I think that
environment is going to play out this year in Pullman.
Coach Holmgren's joining us at the top of the hour. Slick, do we have time for the...
Unfortunately, Paul and Redmond, we do not.
All right.
I'll make sure and ask Hugh in the break for Paul.
We'll time that out better in the future. Coach Holmgren's going to join us next. Apparently, he has a baseball question for Bucky, but I have a feeling we're going to talk all Seahawks in the final hour of our show. What to expect going forward, a complete breakdown. Sports Radio 950 KJR.